Chapter 11, Tactical Ventilation. Welcome. Tansy. Essentials of Firefighting. Chapter Objectives. Explain why tactical ventilation is performed at a structure fire. Describe safety considerations related to tactical ventilation. Describe ventilation tools and equipment. Describe horizontal ventilation. Describe vertical ventilation. Describe considerations related to the ventilation of basements and other special compartments. Skill Sheet 11-1, Perform Mechanical Positive Pressure Ventilation. Skill Sheet 11-2, Perform Horizontal Hydraulic Ventilation. Skill Sheet 11-3, Ventilate a Flat Roof. Skill Sheet 11-4, Ventilate a Pitched Roof. While the term ventilation is traditionally used in the fire service, the activity is more accurately referred to as tactical ventilation. Tactical ventilation is the planned and systematic removal of heated air, smoke, gases, or other airborne contaminants from a structure, replacing them with cooler and/or fresher air to meet the incident priorities of life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation. It must be coordinated with fire suppression operations to prevent unwanted consequences for crews or victims. Correctly implemented, tactical ventilation helps achieve the three incident priorities of life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation. However, if ventilation is improperly applied, the results can traumatize occupants, firefighters, and the structure. The concepts presented in this chapter are based on the information found in Chapter 3, Building Construction, Roof Design and Construction, and Chapter 4, Fire Dynamics, including fire behavior in compartments, stages of fire development, and the reaction of building construction to fire. Now, what? Let's get learning. Lesson 1. Outcomes. Explain why tactical ventilation is performed at a structure fire. Reasons for tactical ventilation. Tactical ventilation is the planned, systematic, and coordinated removal of heated air, smoke, gases, or other airborne contaminants from a structure. It is a tool to help firefighters control a fire, Figure 11.1. Tactical ventilation is also used during overhaul and loss control to evacuate smoke from structures after the fire has been extinguished. Being in control of the fire means using ventilation and water application to control its behavior. In terms of ventilation, firefighters control the flow of oxygen, smoke, and hot gases to then control the rate of fire growth and spread. Tactical ventilation, either creating openings in the structure or closing/covering openings, should be coordinated with an emphasis on controlling oxygen availability. As described in Chapter 4, Fire Dynamics, whenever a fire has sufficient access to oxygen and fuel, it will grow and spread. Ventilation also allows firefighters to control where hot gases and smoke exhaust from a structure. Controlling exhaust openings may improve visibility inside the structure so that interior crews can work more effectively. Exhaust openings can also be used during overhaul to facilitate the removal of smoke or toxic gases after fire extinguishment. Controlling oxygen availability. Fires contained within a compartment, room, or structure consume available fuel and oxygen as they burn. As the fuel and the oxygen burn, they undergo a chemical reaction that produces heated toxic gases, unburned hydrocarbons, and carbon particles, soot. As the oxygen inside the room or structure gets consumed, the fire burns less efficiently, and the amount of unburned fuel in the combustion products increases. If the compartment or structure does not ventilate before consuming most of the available oxygen, the fire enters a state of ventilation-limited decay. These conditions indicate an interior environment that is waiting for more oxygen to re-enter the growth stage. Any ventilation of such an environment will provide the oxygen that the fire needs, which may lead to rapid fire development. Flow path control. Controlling available flow paths can be as simple as keeping an exterior door closed until a charged line is in place, or as complex as performing vertical ventilation. However, even with coordinated tactical ventilation, there will be an increase in the combustion rate when the fire is ventilation limited until water is applied to cool the fire gases. To control the flow path, firefighters can be positioned at doors that the crew passes through along their entry path. Normally, this is just the entry door in residential fires. Their role would be to close any doors as much as the hose lines in use will allow. Additionally, these personnel can help pull additional hose line deeper into the structure or shift it around, if necessary, Figure 11.2. Ventilation and firefighting operations must be coordinated to maximize effectiveness. Personnel should receive and follow specific instructions on when and where to ventilate. Breaking windows unnecessarily or freelancing disrupts the ventilation strategy, which in turn loses control of the fire. As heat and smoke get exhausted, the firefighting crew can move closer to the seat of the fire for extinguishment. An effective way of controlling ventilation is to cover openings rather than creating more openings. Before interior attack, closing exterior doors and windows or using smoke control devices and/or wind control devices to cover ventilated windows will reduce the oxygen available to the fire. Closing any openings hinders fire growth until an attack can be planned and established, Figure 11.3. In general, closing openings helps control the fire unless closing those openings goes against an established incident strategy. Rapid fire development potential. As a fire grows, it can quickly reach temperatures beyond what standard protective gear can handle, typically within a few minutes. If the existing ventilation system supports fire growth, a phenomenon called flashover can occur in less than 5 minutes after ignition. These conditions are extremely dangerous for both occupants and firefighters, even when wearing full protective gear, Figure 11.4. When fresh air, oxygen, enters a room through ventilation, it can reignite heated gases, leading to rapid fire growth. In such situations, neither firefighters nor occupants can survive. To prevent rapid fire growth, it's crucial to apply water streams properly to cool down the heated gases and to use appropriate ventilation techniques to release them. The techniques for water application are detailed in Chapter 13, Hose Streams and Water Supply, and Chapter 14, Fire Suppression. Ventilating without proper coordination can result in flashover. Simply adding more ventilation won't limit the fire or prevent flashover. The longer a structure or compartment ventilates without applying water, the faster flashover will happen. Even if ventilation initially appears to cool the interior and remove smoke and toxic gases effectively, this effect is short-lived. The additional oxygen from ventilation allows the fire to grow towards flashover. To prevent flashover, ventilation and fire attack must be coordinated almost immediately, at least within the short time when ventilation alone improves conditions. Proper ventilation slows down the rate of fire spread and increases visibility, but it's not enough on its own. Both ventilation and water application are necessary to control a fire. Once water is applied, ventilation can further improve conditions inside the structure, allowing firefighters to conduct search and rescue and fire suppression operations safely. Ventilation openings should enhance conditions rather than fueling fire growth. This reduces the risk of flashover while firefighters are inside, making their task safer. If ventilation is intended to facilitate interior fire attack, the attack team must be prepared with charged handlines before starting tactical ventilation, Figure 11.6. Removing hot gases and smoke. Ventilation takes advantage of the buoyancy of fire gases, allowing them to escape from the structure. During ventilation operations, gases flow from the interior to the exterior because the interior gases, heated by the fire, have become less dense, Figure 11.7. Gases less dense than air are buoyant, tend to rise, and move toward areas of lower pressure. As the less dense, higher pressure, hot gases escape, they create a lower pressure that draws in cooler ambient air down low. The primary mode of heat transfer from one compartment to another in a structure fire is convection, Figure 11.8. Convection, as explained in Chapter 4, Fire Dynamics, occurs because the natural buoyancy of smoke moves toxic gases and heat from one room to another. If not coordinated, the same ventilation operation that changes the flow path within the structure can move additional heat and smoke to areas not originally involved in the fire. Because fires inside structures are almost always ventilation limited, tactical ventilation may provide the fire with the necessary oxygen to grow, rather than creating a more tenable environment for firefighters. Tactical ventilation can be an effective strategy only if coordinated with an immediate fire attack. Studies have shown that ventilation openings remove less heat and smoke than previously thought and alter the structure's flow path. That introduces more air into the structure, Zevitek and Kerber 2016. This air carries sufficient oxygen to alter the fire's natural development and intensify its growth. Even though ventilation openings introduce air, they do have to be made to allow smoke, heat, and toxic gases to escape. Controlling the process is key and requires water application in addition to ventilation. Water application to the hot gas layers combined with tactical ventilation can minimize the effect of the new air on fire growth. Water application to the fire compartment begins to transition the fire from ventilation-limited to fuel-limited conditions. Ventilation alone will not achieve this transition. Tactical ventilation that is implemented during or after suppression can create an interior environment or egress path with the following, more tenable conditions. Increased oxygen concentration. Reduced concentration of toxic products of combustion. Reduced temperature levels. Increased visibility to aid in firefighting operations and primary search operations. Applications for life safety. As the highest incident priority, life safety applies to occupants who may be trapped in the structure and the firefighters who must enter it to rescue them. Tactical, coordinated ventilation can be used to alter the flow path away from trapped occupants. This tactic still allows oxygen into the structure but may be necessary to create tenable egress areas for firefighters to rescue victims or trapped occupants, Figure 11.9. Applications for interior operations, interior fire attack and search and rescue. The removal of smoke and gases should create areas where firefighters can move and work inside a structure. As heat and smoke get exhausted, the firefighting crew can then move closer to the seat of the fire for extinguishment. In addition, the ventilation should be organized to prevent the fire from spreading towards searching firefighters. As a tactic for search and rescue, tactical ventilation should be delayed until lines are charged and crews are ready. Keep the fire ventilation limited as long as possible to prevent fire spread. In terms of search and rescue, all rescue teams, entry team, exterior attack teams if needed, ventilation teams, door control monitors, should be ready to go before initiating ventilation. Ensuring that everyone's actions are coordinated helps to control the amount of oxygen allowed into the structure. Search crews should communicate their observations to the IC and exterior crews who are coordinating ventilation so that exterior firefighters can adjust activities as needed. The goal is to complete a rescue without increasing the hazard to trapped victims, harming entry firefighters, spreading the fire to new compartments, or allowing the fire to enter rapid fire development. Applications during overhaul. Once the fire is suppressed, ventilation can be established to accelerate the clearing of smoke and hot gases within the structure, Figure 11.10. Clearing the structure of smoke could make the environment more tenable for victims and make it easier to find any survivors. Ventilation can be performed as part of overhaul and property conservation. Removing smoke from buildings after fire extinguishment minimizes smoke damage to the structure. Safety considerations when ventilating. Successful tactical ventilation conducted in conjunction with fire attack depends on careful planning, communication of scene observations to the incident commander, IC, systematic application of procedures for removing the contaminants, coordination with other fire ground activities, recognition that all openings, doors, windows, other openings, are ventilation. Recognition of the advantages and disadvantages of environmental conditions, wind, temperature, at the scene. Situational awareness, tactical ventilation. As mentioned in Chapter 1, Introduction to the Fire Service and Firefighter Safety, communicating your observations when assigned a task is essential for your safety. The following conditions specific to tactical ventilation should be communicated to crew members and/or a supervisor. Location and extent of the fire. Changes to fire behavior, spread, and growth, including signs of rapid fire development. Effect that ventilation at a location will have on the fire and/or exposures. Effectiveness of planned ventilation, desired flow and exhaust efficiency. Locations where smoke is escaping the structure, under eaves, vented windows, around doors. Type of building construction. Building structural integrity. Condition of the building contents. Indications of potential structural collapse, especially roofs and floors. Locations of overhead power lines, solar panels, and guide wires. Locations of two escape locations for roof crews. Changes to the roof or floor structural integrity. Coordination of fire ground operations with ventilation. Wind direction and strength. Unplanned ventilation and structural integrity. Ventilation may occur before, during, or after fire suppression operations start. Some examples of unplanned ventilation include failure of windows, doors, and structural members as a result of heat/fire exposure. Unplanned ventilation can significantly influence fire behavior in ventilation-limited fires. Firefighters should make two assumptions about any structure fire to guide their decisions when ventilating a structure. The structure itself consists of lightweight construction. The fire in the structure is ventilation limited. For the purposes of this chapter, you can make the same assumptions about the ventilation tactics and information included. The tactics used to ventilate a ventilation limited fire also work when faced with fuel limited conditions. Tactics may change as more information is known or learned about a building's construction. Wind conditions. Any opening in a building, whether part of the building design or created by the fire, allows the surrounding atmosphere to affect what is happening inside the building. Whenever possible, firefighters should use the wind to their advantage, work with the wind, during ventilation. Winds as slow as 10 miles per hour, 15 kilometers per hour, can affect structure fires, potentially making them wind-driven. If winds are at these speeds or faster, firefighters are safest working with the wind at their backs. See Chapter 4, Fire Dynamics, for more information about the effects of wind and wind-driven fires. Exposures. When beginning tactical ventilation operations, firefighters must consider internal and external exposures. Internal exposures include the building occupants, contents, and any uninvolved rooms or portions of the building. When ventilation does not release heat and smoke directly above the fire, some routing of the smoke becomes necessary. The routes the smoke and heated fire gases would naturally travel to exit may be the same routes occupants need for evacuation and firefighters need for working. Ventilation that causes heat, smoke, and sometimes fire to be discharged through wall openings below the highest point of the building creates the danger that the rising gases will ignite portions of the building above the exhaust point. Heat and fire gases may be drawn into open windows or attic vents, and they may also ignite the eaves of the building or adjacent structures. Radiation and/or direct flame contact can affect external exposures, including structures located adjacent to the fire building. Window-mounted air conditioning units or HVAC intake vents may draw smoke into adjacent buildings. Nearby structures and vegetation can be ignited if convection carries hot firebrands or embers aloft. Fire may be drawn into exterior windows or openings of the adjacent exposures, Figure 11.11. Ventilation location. Before selecting a place to ventilate, firefighters should gather as much information as possible about the fire, the building, and the occupancy. As a firefighter, you will be instructed on where to ventilate. It is your responsibility to communicate your observations or concerns about performing ventilation, such as changes in conditions between orders being given and actions being taken.